Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. You're here. I'm here. And listener Kevin's here down in Atlanta. And we're going to talk about a great trip that he took back in February. They did a Disney cruise bookended by two stays at Walt Disney World. We're going to talk a little bit about his Disney cruise experience, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique with his two girls on the ship. We're going to talk about staying at the Contemporary Resort in a theme park view room, one of his bucket list items. Also, a stay at the Coronado Springs. We have some great cast member stories because we're going to make an effort here moving forward to really, really celebrate our cast members. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. If you want to support an American small business, seriously, book your next trip with the great agents over at the Magic for Less. Their services are absolutely free to you, and you're going to get a professional, passionate agent helping you with every step along the way when it comes to your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or Adventures by Disney trip. Also, mention the Be Our Guest podcast on that quote form, and you and I are going to be working together. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you shop online, especially with Prime Days coming up this week. It's a free way to support the show. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, if you want a little extra content in your week, become a patron of the show. And a huge shout out to all of our patrons. You are making all this stuff possible in these times where travel has slowed down just a bit. So thanks to all the patrons. You can become one today over at patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1779 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents, where? Over at the Magic for Less Travel, that's right. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. Maybe you got out to the patch, picked your pumpkin, you know, just like Charlie Brown, or I guess that'd be Linus. You're looking for the most sincere pumpkin of all, and you will be blessed, and Santa will bring you gifts. I can't remember how that goes. I used to show that every year to my sixth graders. I haven't taught for 3 years. I'm out of practice there, but you'll have to fill me in because I love that. That was the thing about when I taught, just a quick little aside for Mr. Rallman's sixth grade class. There was always the Charlie Brown Halloween special, the 30 minutes before we left for Halloween that day. Thanksgiving, same thing. The Charlie Brown Thanksgiving where they have the popcorn, they get in the back of the station wagon, eight kids, no seatbelts, all awesome. And then, of course, Charlie Brown Christmas right before Christmas break. That was always something. My kids come back. My kids now are, you know, some of them are flying jets in the Air Force. And, you know, I'm like, what do you remember about, you know, my class? What'd you learn? We used to watch all the Charlie Brown movies. I'm like, yeah, thank you. Right. Great. That and Bill Nye. So there you go. Anyway, let's talk Disney. We're going to have a fun trip report today. And joining us from down in Atlanta, we have Kevin. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me. Awesome. Awesome to be on the show tonight.
Oh, man, so glad to have you on the show. And how are things down in Atlanta this time of year? I hope it's kind of cooling off for you guys.
Yeah, right now it's a nice fall weather right here. You know, like you said, I'm from Pennsylvania, so I love that fall weather when it comes in. We know football's, you know, here and enjoying it all. So, yeah, keep this fall weather up and keep the football going, and we'll all be happy campers.
Well, that's right. You're in Atlanta, but you're a Big Ten fan, so you're waiting for the Nittany Lions. But yes. You're almost. I mean, Wade's in the live chat with us now. He's a big Husker fan, so I know my Big Ten fans. We're an SEC podcast, I got to admit, because it's on my shirt right here. But lots of love for the Be Our Guest podcast in Big Ten country. So shout out. You'll be there soon. All right, good stuff. All right, let's talk about your trip that you took. Actually, before we get into it, because we're going to talk about a trip you took in February when I was down there actually at the same time. And got,
yeah.
When I got on the mat, just an aside to that trip, when I got onto the bus that day, I had the Magical Express bus at the end of that trip. It was just like a regular old Magical Express trip back to the airport. I had no idea that the world would change like 3 weeks later and everything was going to be different from now on. So it's kind of weird to look back at this weekend because that was my last pre-COVID experience at Walt Disney World. But before we hop into your trip, just give us a little background. Like, how'd you find the show? What has you listening to a Disney podcast? What's your like overall connection to Disney? Why do you like it so much?
Yeah, I mean, so grew up in Pennsylvania, taking trips down there with the family. And so always just was a big fan. The last time my wife and I were there was 2011, right before we got married. And then never really had a chance to get back. Marriage, moved to Atlanta, kids, and just kind of raised them with the Disney culture, with all the movies and everything. And then we just ended up talking about this trip, and you'll see it was a combination Disney World and Disney Cruise that we back-ended Disney World on both ends of the trip. And yeah, we just said, let's book this and go for it.
Absolutely. It's funny because, like, you go through those phases of life where, like, you go, you're a Disney fan, then, you know, life gets in the way. You don't go for quite a while. But then, you know, what I've noticed is, like, when you get back, it's like, wow, you know, it's I miss this, you know, and it's like you could either do without it and really you're kind of done with it. But if you're listening to our show, it's like you go down, you're like smitten. You're like, wow, I need some of this in my life every so often.
Oh, yeah. And seeing it through the eyes of your kid. My kids were 3 and 5 at the time. They're 6 and 4 now. My two girls and just my wife and I seen it through their eyes, completely different than before. So it was great.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. It's awesome. And I know we have a lot of single folks who don't have kids yet or, you know, don't have kids, but it's just so cool to have that dynamic of you get Discovery all over again. You know, when your kid sees a Mickey Mouse or a princess or, you know, rides the Barnstormer and you're wedged in at 6'3", but you're still smiling. You're like, I'm in pain, but it's a cool pain. So it's fun. All right. So let's talk about the trip. So I mentioned you guys went down in February. So give us kind of the nuts and bolts, the when, where, why, who went with you, and then we'll dive into the daily stuff that happened.
So it was the four of us, my wife, Elizabeth, daughters, Emily and Haley. They were 5 and 3 at the time. We started booking it last July, and it started off with booking the cruise first. So that was went Monday through Friday. And then we thought, well, there's a weekend before and there's a weekend afterwards. So they've never seen Disney World. So why don't we book a couple days before the trip and a couple days after the trip? And, you know, with a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, we're like, okay, that's 10 days because we drove from Atlanta. That's 10 days we're going to be away. That could be a little rough. And, you know, but we thought, you know what, let's go for it. So, you know, we just kept kind of just rolling our plans together. We had a travel agent and he helped us out through a lot of different things. And then I asked a group, and you asked me how I found the podcast. My wife's a physician here in Atlanta at the Children's Hospital. And I found a group, Dads Married to Doctors, and there's a Disney Dads Married to Doctors subspecialty group out of it. And these guys are great. And I just said one time, like, hey, what's a great podcast to listen to on the way down? And Be Our Guest was the first thing that popped up. And then the first episode I listened to, it said, you're going down there this week. And I said, all right, well, it's meant to be. You know, I gotta check this out. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I started listening to the show and been a fan ever since.
So. That is so crazy. There is absolutely a Facebook group for everything, I think.
There is.
It's social media. It's just something. You know, it's got its negatives, but it also has its... It can bring us together in
absolutely. And it did, yeah.
I love that because, you know, now we're getting to talk. This is great. All right, yeah. So now you did a Disney cruise. We're going to talk about the world stuff for the most part, but, God, man, I love a Disney cruise. Just give us a little... What would you think of it? What was the highlight?
Yeah, I mean, so the highlight of this, the whole trip was... Our girls just wanted to meet the characters. You know, they read about them. They watched them on TV and movies. And they just wanted to meet the characters, especially the princesses. And so that was the highlight. Like, we booked everything possible to meet these characters. So on the ship, it was meeting all the princesses, Cinderella, Tiana, Belle, and Rapunzel. And in one meet and greet, and then you got Elsa and Anna in another one. And anytime you would find them anywhere around, you would just try to meet as many characters as possible. And that, I mean, their eyes just glowed. And one of the cool things before our trip was our kids were afraid of any mascot that had a head on, you know, that had fur on them or whatever. I mean, they wouldn't go near them. They were terrified of them. And, you know, throughout the whole trip, they're meeting Donald Duck in Disney World. And it's almost like it was meeting the real character. They went over, gave them hugs. And I'm like, who are these kids? What is going on here? Like, they absolutely love these characters.
Oh my gosh. I had to laugh because you just triggered a memory. Totally unrelated to Disney, but I get it because we used to hang out with Paige played sports, my oldest daughter, with her best friend Molly, and like we were friends with their parents. They played sports together, so they'd have, you know, four or five soccer games on a Saturday because they're on a couple teams, tournaments and stuff. So we'd always go like grab something to eat between like game three and four.
Sure.
And you mentioned the furry mascot thing is because Molly had a younger brother that was probably about five or six, and he had this unreasonable fear of the same thing, like a furry mascot. So we'd go places where we knew there wasn't, you know, anything gonna happen. Like we go to this new restaurant near the soccer fields, and it was like a grand opening, you know. It was like one of the, you know, we're like, oh, it's like a pancake house, we're gonna go here. We're all sitting down, and then all of a sudden, you know, boom, this like big moose comes popping in the doors. He like runs to the bathroom. It was the
oh
my gosh, you brought that back. That was the that was one of the funniest things I ever saw. Like, we really didn't try to scare him. This moose just boom pops in, like wants to make everybody happy, just freaks this kid out. So I know, I get it, because the face characters, I think, is where you kind of start it, because obviously for a little kid it's not as intimidating. But I mean, you know what, maybe the little kids are correct. You know, you got to somebody that's coming at you with a head, you know, 7 feet wide, that's something's wrong with that. So,
well, my daughter, her explanation was because they don't speak.
Dude,
and that was her whole big thing. They don't speak. And, but I don't know what it was about the Disney characters. I'll talk about the end of our trip, but we met, you know, in the Animal Kingdom, they were running around with Brer Bear and Brer Rabbit and doing a chase with them and everything. And they're holding hands with them, and I'm like, "What is going on here? Like, what do these characters have?" But you know what it is. You know?
Oh yeah, it's the Disney magic is what it is. All right, and I'll tell you what though, when you go on a cruise, it kind of spoils you for the character interactions. When that stuff comes back around here, hopefully soon, you know, you're not competing against the whole world. You're only competing against some of the people that are on the ship, and they do them right. Did you guys do that big princess gathering in the atrium where it's just like bam, bam, bam? That is the best. I remember that. Oh my gosh,
you're going right down the line. You know, on this trip, you know, I think I told you that we had a picture frame with signatures from every character we met, and there was 35 signatures at the end of our trip. So we met Cinderella five times, you know, by the end, it's just like, yeah, hi.
That's okay, you're practically related at that point. You know?
Right. Exactly.
What's up, Cindy?
But they line them all up. And then, you know, Elsa and Anna, they line them up. You take the pictures and they meet them. And they had a blast with it.
All right. So let's talk about the world part of the trip, because we could go forever and I could talk cruise line all night. But you guys stayed at the Contemporary. So that's one of the few places I've still yet to stay. Only a couple places. Yeah. And that's one. But Mallory wants to stay there in the worst way. So it's going to have to happen here soon. So tell us why you picked the Contemporary and like what your thoughts were on the stay there.
So one of the reasons we picked the Contemporary was I thought it was awesome that you wake up. And when you go to the Magic Kingdom, you can walk through the walkway right to the Magic Kingdom. But because it was race day, the walkway was closed
true.
To the Magic
That's
Kingdom
true.
That
That's
morning.
True. That's true. Because, this is Princess Half Marathon weekend. Yeah. You run right. Yeah, I didn't think about it. We run right through there to go into the Magic Kingdom.
Right through there. And that morning, I found out that they closed the walkway. And it's like, no, the one thing we wanted the hotel. So, but it was great. You know, we wanted to be there, like right next to the Magic Kingdom. You know, kids, if they wanted to rest in the afternoon, we booked a garden view room initially, and then the theme park view popped up one day, and I looked at my wife, and my wife knows that she's got to reel me in from doing absolutely everything possible. And when she said, "Yeah, you know what? If you want it, go for it," so we booked it. You know, didn't even price everything. So we booked the theme park view room, crossed that off the bucket list. And that was great about it, because that day we went to the Magic Kingdom. We went and gone as we pleased. And so just being able to, the night we got in, to watch the fireworks from our balcony and just experience all that, it was really cool.
And you mentioned you got to check that off your Disney bucket list. And I think that is something that is on every person's bucket list, because I mean, you think about it, if you're down there and you're staying, you know, this, I've never done it. I just said that, you know, it's like a drive past on a bus coming from Pop Century or Riverside. And what do you see on the right-hand side? You see those theme park view, you know, balconies there. And that has to be amazing. And especially not only, you know, just for the Disney fan, the experience of it, but it's very practical when you have kids of your age, you know, to have a place to go back to and not have to fight, you know, the 20, 25 minute bus ride at the end of the day.
Oh, it was great. We left right after the parade, the Festival of Fantasy parade. So what, 3:30? We walked right back to the hotel. The girls, everybody took an hour and a half nap, And we were back at 6 o'clock at Magic Kingdom. It walked right back in at 6 o'clock and had a fast pass to meet Tinkerbell, the girl. That was on their list. And we walked right in. So, 2.5 hours rested and got back and went till close. So that was really beneficial.
Oh man, I miss those days. These trip reports we're doing now, it's so hard. I mean, it's fun to think about because this is how we're going to get back to eventually. But geez, it's so different right now. It's so hard. Fireworks, really, and all that good stuff, and late park hours. All right, so that night, so you also took advantage of your location by having dinner at 1900 Park Fair over at the Grand Floridian. So this was, again, you got to meet Cinderella because she's there with her stepsisters and the prince there. So how'd that go?
Oh, that was great. I think that was our favorite dinner. Our little one, Haley, dressed up as Cinderella to go to the dinner. She has a Cinderella outfit. She dressed up as that. And it was so entertaining. The stepsisters and the stepmother came over to our table, and my wife was helping taking a picture of the table next to us. And she saw that she was doing all that, and she looked at me. She goes, "What are you, useless?" And she said that to me, very much in character. And then Anastasia was having an argument with her sister there, and I said to my girls, I said, "Hey girls, which one do you like better, Anastasia or Drizella?" And Anastasia stopped in the middle of her argument. She turned around and looked at me. She goes, "Oh, that's fair. Which one of your kids do you like better?" And it was like that the whole time, and the girls were loving every minute of it. So, that was probably our favorite dinner of the whole trip.
I've always said I need a job like that where I could just go around and, be mean to people or be sarcastic right all day long and be like, just doing my job.
Tell them exactly how you feel. That's right.
Exactly. Now, let me ask you one more question about this first day where you're there. So you guys have this meal, you guys go back and go back and you get to see Happily Ever After from your balcony. Being there, in this spot, I would just think that, because this happened to me one time. I stayed at the Grand Floridian for the Toy Story media event when it opened, and they gave me a theme park view room at the Grand. I was by myself. My family couldn't be there. It was just me. And, I totally wanted to stay up all night long because I knew I probably wouldn't have this again, and I could see the castle. I could see it all. So, I mean, did you hang out on that balcony till late at night? Or, I mean, I would hate to give that up. I'd want to take in every minute.
Well, I really did. We knew next morning it's going to be a long day, Magic Kingdom all day. And right after the fireworks, my girls went to bed, wife and kids. They went to bed. I said, I'm just going to go take a walk. And I walked the Contemporary Lobby, just seeing things, getting a bite to eat. And I came back upstairs. I sat on that balcony for at least 30, 45 minutes and just chilling out, observing the sights, just taking it all in. Forgot about the electric light parade that went off at 10 o'clock. I completely missed that. But I just hung out and took it all in.
That's good. Because I always hate to hear that people, have something like that. And they're like, we got back so late. I didn't even go out there. I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, you have this. You don't have this all the time. Take advantage. Because when you're staying deluxe, always take advantage of everything you can.
You have to.
All right. So let's talk about the next day. So this was the day of the Princess Half Marathon, which would have been Sunday, I'm guessing.
Yeah, 23rd.
Sunday the 23rd. So you got up bright and early, and all of a sudden the worst parade and the smelliest parade ever is cruising past the Contemporary. You didn't know this was happening, right, until that morning?
No, I knew the race was going on. In fact, that was one of the reasons, we stayed in that area because we knew that the roads to the Magic Kingdom were closed and thought, this could be a good opportunity to get there early and experience all. So I was up 5:30. I went out to the balcony. I watched the runners come through and that was awesome. Just to kind of see everybody just flying through there, hooting and hollering at 6 a.m, having a good time. That was great. Up early and got us going.
So how hard is it getting kids at 5 and 3 up for the morning? Because you guys got over to the Magic Kingdom early because you had a BR guest reservation and, you're there early. They're getting to see princesses. I'm sure they're all excited, but is it tough getting everybody out that early for you? Because some people can do it. Some people have trouble.
It wasn't. I mean, we were prepping them for this trip. I'm showing them videos left and right. So they were just amped. The moment we said, "Hey, girls, let's go," they were up and ready to go. In fact, we got down to the lobby. We had BR guest reservations for 8:10 in the morning. And our plan, and it worked out really well, was we grabbed a quick breakfast sandwich at the Contempo. We ate there, and then we made our way around And I don't know if you know this. Have you ever seen the end of a Disney race? Have you ever been at the end of the race?
I have. I've seen the last person cross the finish line. Yes.
We're walking down Main Street, and I hear the guy say 90 seconds to the end of the race. And we're like, okay. We counted the 90 seconds, and there was the guy with the sign, cleared everybody out. I mean, that thing was shut down within like 2 minutes of him declaring the end of that race. So that was great. So we had pretty much an unfettered view of Main Street, of the castle. We got our into the restaurant. And the reason we did this was we went in and all we ordered was two cupcakes, the gray stuff, and coffee. And it came to $13. And so we said, we weren't going to eat breakfast there and spend the money. We thought we'd spend it elsewhere. And that was great because then we ate those cupcakes, I drank my coffee, and then we were in line for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train 5 minutes before the park was going to open.
Well, see, that's why I wanted to get this in, because I wanted to kind of give the strategy, which I think you had a perfect hack, which I don't know if we've really talked about, because a lot of times we go at these weekends from the perspective of the runner, because I'm usually talking to other folks that are on the running team. But you guys had a really good hack in that, you know, the Magic Kingdom is probably going to be very low crowds until around 11 or noon. Once the runners finish up, they get a shower, they grab their medals, and they come back for pictures. It sounds like you guys did have kind of the run of the place for like 3 hours as the race got swept out of there, and then you guys had a good period there without too big of crowds.
Yeah, I mean, maybe five to 10 minute wait for pretty much everything we wanted to do in that area. We rode Mine Train twice. We were able to because my five-year-old, when she got to the front of the line, did not want to ride the ride. And so my three-year-old and I went on the ride. And when we got off, my wife and I were right there and, you know, for a rider swap. And then she convinced that she wanted to go on the coaster. And the cast member let all four of us back on the ride again. So we got to ride it twice right in a row, back to back. And so
I love it. Yeah. And I want to talk about these cast member interactions because it's been a really rough couple of weeks for the cast members across the Disney company as a whole. And I want to make a point to celebrate cast members anytime we have stories like this. And at the top of the, we didn't even talk about this, but at your check-in at the Contemporary, a cast member was able to kind of sprinkle a little bit of pixie dust on your trip right there, right?
Yeah. So that was at the end of our trip.
Okay,
so when we got back from the cruise, we stayed at Coronado Springs for 2 nights. And our plan was to go to Epcot. We knew it was the last day of our trip, like day 8 or 9. We were going to go to Epcot for maybe a half day, see some of the characters, have breakfast at Akershus. And there was a mix-up in our tickets. Long story short, there was a mix-up in our tickets. And the gentleman's name was Louis Cito at the desk there. And he said, you know, let me figure out what's going on. We went to Rick's sports bar in Coronado Springs. Great, great lunch. He calls me up and says, you know, we realized it was a mistake on our end. I reinstated your tickets, and we turned the tickets from regular one-day tickets to park hoppers. Nice. And, you know, I said that to my wife, and she looked at me. She's like, oh, gosh, what do you have planned for us now?
Oh, no, we're not doing four parks.
Oh, my gosh, what are we doing now? So I said, okay, thank you, you know. And so the thought process was you know, that we're okay. So we had breakfast in Akershus at like 8:10 in the morning again, you know, before the park opened at 9 that morning. And so we started there. We went the whole day at Epcot, met a couple characters here and there. And then my wife says to me at about 2 o'clock, she goes, you know, Emily really wanted to see the safari at Animal Kingdom. And I said, okay, but I don't think there's going to be a fast pass, you know, at this time, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. Well, I pull my phone up and there's four fast passes for $3.40.
Oh, you got to get moving, man.
So it's an hour and a half away. I was like, all right, in the car. So we hopped in our car since we drove down, hopped in our car over to Animal Kingdom. Girls are psyched. We get there and we get in the park and they're having this playtime with Brer Bear and Brer Rabbit. We get to the safari. We get some ice cream afterwards, about 5:30. No more good fast pass in the Animal Kingdom. Girls, what do you want to do? We want to see the castle again. All right. So we hauled out of there, back in the car, over to Magic Kingdom. About, I guess it was about 6:30, 7 o'clock. We got dinner at Pinocchio House because my daughter loved the carousel, my five-year-old. I knew that's where we were going first. So dinner at Pinocchio restaurant there. And we actually sat at the window,
oh, yeah,
overlooking It's a Small World. looking over it, and there's signs on every table. They're overlooking It's a Small World. Some will say, raise your left hand or sing Frozen. And my girls just kept putting them up against the window, and the people on the boats that were coming by, where you could see some guys just standing up and belting out Let It Go at the top of their lungs, or, you know, waving to us up there, or, you know, kind of blowing kisses. And we did that for like 20 minutes. And the girls loved it. Everybody's like paying attention to them. And
I have never heard of that. So there were signs actually on the table in the restaurant that you would hold up for the riders?
Yeah. So on every table overlooking It's a Small World, there was one sign, and you'd hold the sign up to the window and say, sing Let It Go. And you'd see some dude just standing up and just belting it out while he was like on the ride there. And then, you know, blow a kiss to us, and somebody blow a kiss. And I mean, we did that for 15, 20 minutes, and they loved every minute of it.
How have I not heard about that? That is genius. And I've never heard that, but that is awesome.
It was great. And then, you know, we of course, you know, hand the signs over to other people as we were leaving. So we did that. That was like 7 o'clock. Again, the girls were on no nap time whatsoever. Road rides around there, fireworks, Once Upon a Time. And then I'm like, at some point, there's just going to be a massive meltdown right now. I'm waiting for it. It's like 8:30, 9 o'clock. Let's keep going on rides. We hit up Aladdin Carpets. And then my wife calls me as I took the younger one on Aladdin Carpets. Hey, there's no line at Jungle Cruise. 9:45, let's go to Jungle Cruise. We hit that. We get off of there. We're hungry. Park closes at 10. We got to Sleepy Hollow, Funnel Cakes, picture with Cinderella's glass slipper right outside there. It's like 10:30, and my five-year-old just looks at me. She goes, Dad, Disney's just the best place ever. I'm like, we just went 14 and a half hours. I understand why you're saying that.
But that's a memory like you'll have. I mean, I don't know how much of that she'll remember, you know, down the line, but she'll know that it happened. And you have, I mean, obviously it looks like you said you had over 500 photos on your photo pass, you know, all over the place. Yeah. You had a bunch from the ship. You had the signatures from the princess. I mean, this is something, honestly, she'll remember forever. But more importantly, you and your wife. I mean, it's just, this is why we do what we do day to day, so that we can afford, you know, moments like this with our kids.
Yeah, exactly. And again, you know, now they ask for a trip all the time. I don't know when we're going to head back. We're thinking about doing the same trip in 2022, same weekend, race weekend. So I'll wave to you from my balcony again. You know, it is just, we really did it. We hit it at the right time since we got back to Atlanta on March 1st. So the timing couldn't have been any better. And just everything that kind of fell into line with the, you know, the race weekend and the cruise, and then afterwards, it was great.
That is awesome. Real quick, let me ask you about Coronado. So what'd you think? Because, you know, you guys went from the Contemporary Deluxe to Coronado, which is a moderate, but to me, Coronado is just, it's a sweet resort. It just, it just feels right to me.
Yeah. So we got our travel agent got us upgraded to the Grand Destino Tower. And so that was great. And one of the things that was kind of cool was we had the standard view. And so we weren't looking at the lake, but the standard view, you have a view of the Epcot and Hollywood Studio fireworks from our room. So I got up as high as possible. And when we got back to our room, the first night when we got there, it was great to just watch the fireworks right there from the room. The pool, even though it was February 28th, it was nice. It was a little chilled out, but we went to the pool there. We had a nice time there. Yeah, great resort. Awesome.
Yeah, I stayed in Grand Destino for that weekend as well. Had standard view, just like you, and I could see into galaxy. You could see Galaxy's Edge at night. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah,
you can see the glow of the land, which I thought, yeah, can't believe Disney's not calling this a Galaxy's Edge view or something and charging, you know, $30
a little upcharge.
More. I'm not gonna tell anybody I can see it. I'm not gonna look. I don't want to get charged. Okay, one other thing, because I want to mention these cast members. You said, now this was back before the cruise. You were kind of wrapping things up over at the Magic Kingdom that one night, and you had. Yeah. This is what I've been dying. I've been saying on social media for about 2 weeks that I'm dying for some clam chowder from Columbia Harbor House. Yeah. Not open right now. Wasn't open when I was down there in August. Totally missing it because it's my favorite place to eat in the Magic Kingdom. Lobster rolls. That's my thing too. Mm-hmm. But you guys met an incredible cast member over there. So talk to us about that.
Yeah. So we're sitting outside enjoying our lobster rolls at Columbia Harbor House. You know, just got dinner, you know, looking forward to the rest of the evening. And I was looking for a restroom and didn't know where they were and didn't realize that they do not exist in Liberty Square. And so I saw a cast member. She was standing right there. And I asked her, and she indicated she was deaf and she had a speech impediment, so she couldn't really speak. But she gets her phone out, and I want to say it was an app or something, but she typed out how Liberty Square, the reason there's no restrooms there is because they didn't exist in colonial times, and the sewage just flowed down the street. And so they mimicked that from colonial times, that the pathway is brown, mm-hmm. and it kind of leads back to where the restrooms are right outside of Liberty Square there. And she's typing the whole thing on her phone, and she is just having a blast, like educating me 100% of exactly what this is. I mean, she went so far above and beyond to kind of educate me on all this, and she was having a blast doing it. I was having a blast learning from her. You know, my wife, where's the kids with special needs? She's sitting right there taking it on. She's like, this is incredible. This is like the Disney story you want to hear.
Well, totally. That's it. And the thing is, you know, it just... You know, I saw the notes here, you know, didn't have the whole story, but it just makes me feel good that cast member has the opportunity to interact, you know, that, you know, Disney could employ someone that has a disability like that, but maybe not put them on the front lines. But then again, yeah. This person could be the best frontline representative the company has. And what I like about it is I like to see that with my kids, you know, because I want my kids to see a picture of the world as it is, and that people do overcome, you know, if they're differently abled than the rest of us. So I think that's a very cool story. And that's why I'm so glad we could get it out there. Because it's good to see.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Now, let me ask you, okay, we're hopping all over the place, but yeah. So you were getting ready to go on the cruise the next day, but you've done what, you know, you have in your notes, and this sticks with me because I've had this happen to myself, you know, with my daughters too. You get to, you know, you stay at the Magic Kingdom till late, you know, it's closed. Sometimes you stay after it's closed. You kind of take your time leaving the park. But it says, you know, you saw your wife and the two girls skipping out of the Magic Kingdom after park closing. To me, there is honestly, you could talk about all the rides, the shows, the meals, but there's nothing like seeing your family that happy, your kids that happy, skipping down Main Street. I mean, that's really, I mean, it's almost like you're in a commercial or something.
Oh, yeah. We told them at the end of the evening, one souvenir. So we hit the gift shop right there. And they picked out, one picked out an Elsa doll, one picked out a little Ariel doll. And when we walked out, you know, there was very little people there. And so I just had my phone out there walking in front of me. And my three-year-old just started to skip. She learned how to skip that trip. And of course, you know, where else would you learn to skip? And so she learned how to skip that trip. And the three of them were holding hands. And I just started a video. And they're skipping out down Main Street, going toward the exit. I'm like, okay, this is how you end your first day in Disney World, your first trip. That's how it ends.
I have a video just like that on my phone. I will never delete it. It was Mallory. Oh. We were on Main Street. We were waiting for the Main Street Electrical Parade back in the day, you know, because we got a great spot, but we were, you know, waiting probably 45 minutes before the parade. And we're just killing time, but they put on the Frozen music, and she's like, you know, out in the middle of Main Street, you know, they're kind of keeping everybody back, but she's just belting out Let It Go. You know, she's probably six, five, something like that. It's just, you know, it'll be great for when she starts dating, you know, show
absolutely
all her future suitors.
Yeah. Embarrass them.
Exactly. That's what we do. Yeah. Okay, real quick, jumping over to the cruise. I've been all over. So I've been to Coronado at the end. I've been to the Contemporary before. Why not just jump into the middle? Just some of the highlights. So Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique on the ship. Now, I'm a veteran of Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique on land, both at Disney Springs back in the day, downtown Disney, and then at Cinderella's Castle. What was the experience like? Because it said your girls were so excited that they couldn't even stand it, which I could understand. Perfect age for Bibbidi Bobbidi. What was it like?
So they didn't know this was there, and they didn't know we were doing this for them, for the Bibbidi Bobbidi. So it was the afternoon, and it was kind of nice. It worked out that it was the formal night on the ship where everybody gets kind of dressed up. And my wife and I both had you know, outfits to get dressed up in. And they walked in there, and it was just like, wait a second, what is this? And like, this is it, girls. We bought dresses for them, brought them on the ship. I want to say one was Jasmine and, oh, they're going to kill me if I don't get this right. I thought, well, maybe Aurora maybe was one, and maybe Rapunzel. All right, I don't know.
We won't tell. My daughter was Jasmine, by the way, too, so that's a good
one. There you go. Okay, good. Yeah, and so they loved every minute of it, you know, and they got out of there. They had the little ponytail coming down, and then when we walked out of there, you know, they just everywhere, you know, just, I'm here. I've arrived.
Yeah. And the thing too about it is when you're on the cruise, like even not just the cast members that are on the ship, but like the other guests get into it, especially, you know, you got Pirate Night people, the ship. And it's just like, honestly, and cruising's got to come back because I miss it so much. But a cruise is just like a big floating party. Everybody's happy. Everybody's friendly. And especially when you see, because whenever, you know, my girls were past the bibbidi bobbidi age, thank goodness we've gotten out of that. It's good on dad's wallet. But there's other things that are a lot more expensive nowadays, like cheerleading and stuff. But the thing is, like, you see these little girls walking around the ship, you know, that have had that experience, you know, you just can't help but say, oh, princess, or your highness, you know, or something like that. Because, I mean, you just see them, they're just beaming because they are the princess for the duration of that cruise, as long as they keep that stuff on.
My wife just messaged me. It was Rapunzel and Aurora, so I was kind of right. Yeah.
Good stuff. We'll just make sure that doesn't get out there.
I knew that was coming.
And I am so glad, because you put one other thing here in the notes about the cruise, and it's not just my kid. Both of them when they were younger. The one's a lot older now. But they also were the last to leave the theater after the live shows, for certain shows, especially like the Golden Mickeys.
Yeah,
because tell us why. Because I think, and a lot of parents are going to relate to this, right? And they're probably saying he's not going to say it. Yeah, you are. Go ahead.
They. My daughter picked up every single bit of confetti that was on the floor, and no matter what it was, you know, the first night I think it was in the shape of Mickey. So that, you know, we had to get every single piece there, and the workers there, they weren't stopping them. They appreciated that. So they appreciated that. Like, yeah, sure, pick them up. Yeah, absolutely.
That's exactly it. We found them in the suitcase. We found them in like their, you know, pockets.
Oh, I still find them in the hallways of our house. You know, I'll see a little Mickey in it. Hey, it's nice because it reminds you of a good time.
Oh, my gosh. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. But that's right. The workers are like, go ahead. You know, do my job. Yeah. I'll just go grab soda and I'll be back in 20 minutes. Okay. So last thing, Castaway Key. I got to talk about it. What'd you guys think? What'd you guys do there? Just kind of hang out at the beach?
Yeah, we did. Because there wasn't a ton to do as far as the excursions. I know when we go back, we'll probably hit some excursions up. So there wasn't a ton. We kind of hung out on the beach. Truth be told, at lunchtime, they went to the kids club, and my wife and I went and had the barbecue by ourselves. We had a nice little lunch together, and my wife, she grabbed a hammock, and I think she took a nap for 2 hours.
Yes.
Now me, I couldn't do that. I couldn't sit still for that. So I grabbed one of those inner tubes. I paddled out as far as I could into the ocean, and I floated for 45 minutes, and people were probably looking at me like, who's this guy without any kids just floating out in the ocean? But I could picture that like it was yesterday, seeing the ship and the water and the trees out there. That was my idea of relaxation. So we all had our own good time.
What they're saying is that guy is winning the day right there. No kids around him. He's just all by himself, just floating out in the ocean. Not a care in the world. That guy's winning the day. And, you know, I'm like, wife, give me, because I get burned real easy. I mean, I'll get out there with everybody, but give me a shady hammock. Whew.
Yep.
That's living. So that's
yes, it was.
All right. So we're going to wrap this up. Got to talk some cruise, got to talk some contemporary Coronado, great times in the parks, great meals. So before we duck out of here though, like, is there any other memories or something that sticks out from the trip you want to leave us with? Cause I love those kind of things. Maybe something you learned that could help somebody else plan a trip.
Memories. We went in with the plan, and then, you know, as you walk into the park or onto your cruise, I sent you my itinerary. I had an Excel spreadsheet and I had it mapped out, and what I sent you was what we did at the end of it, because we just pretty much scrapped that the moment we went in. You know, all right, what do you want to do now? What do you want to do here? Oh, you know, hey, this great ride is open right now. Oh, you want to go meet the princess in Princess Hall? Let's go. You know, it's just like, you lead the way, and that's what I'll remember the most is, yep, sure, whatever you want to do, let's go.
You know, I see a lot of these Excel spreadsheets because, you know, the folks that are going to listen to this show and the folks that are going to come on and, you know, talk to me about trips tend to be the planners, which is okay, so am I. I mean, I don't put stuff in an Excel spreadsheet because I've done a lot of these things a lot of times, but I've always said this to folks that I help with their trips and just folks that listen to the show is that by going through that exercise of creating an itinerary in some kind of a graphical organizer, a spreadsheet, what have you, whatever works best for you, what it does is it makes you kind of get that plan in your head. And it gives it for folks like us, and I'm talking, you know, the folks listening to the show and planners, it gives you that peace of mind of like, okay, at least I have some sort of a plan. Like you said, you scrapped it, but you had a good idea of what the goals of the day were going to be. And I think that's, even if you don't go with what's written down or, you know, stick to the spreadsheet, I think it's super important though, that you have an idea of what you want to get out of the trip.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly what that does.
Oh yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. That part of the planning, and I think just having the breakfast in the park, and I don't think that exists now, but before the park opened, that was huge to kind of just kick the day off and be able to be in there without a lot of people around. That was a good idea.
Yeah, I totally feel like a rock star. I love 12 hour hacks too. Ricky's never done it. She can't get up that early, but hey, that's just one less person in the park, is what I say. All right, Kevin. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show today to share this trip. It sounds awesome. And hope to see you down there at Princess 2020. Do you run? You going to run? Come on. You do a race with us.
You know, my wife and I do one race a year. It's the Peachtree 10K that's okay. here in Atlanta. Yeah. 60,000 people. But I think we can make an exception. I think we can make an exception. Yeah, and head down there and knock it out.
All right, we'll see you in the crowds then. That'll be fun. That'll be great.
I love it.
Thanks for coming on the show. Sure appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike.
All right, don't forget today's show is brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out when it comes time for your next Disney adventure. Maybe you're heading out to Disney Cruise Line. Hopefully they'll be sailing here very soon. We're booking through the end of 2021 into 2022 for the cruises. We can book you for, hey, you want to go down for Thanksgiving, Christmas this year to Walt Disney World? Great time to visit 2021 as well. So just drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great free services they offer you. And while you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote form. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also this week, Prime Days. Please click through our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And we'd sure appreciate that. It's a free way to support the show. And if you want a little extra content in your week, become a patron over at patreon.com/brguestpodcast. And you'll get Mike in the Midwest, a podcast about a bunch of nonsense about a guy growing up here in the middle of the United States. Don't forget to give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike and at Be Our Guest Pod. And of course, search for the Be Our Guest Podcast on Facebook and YouTube and subscribe. That way you get the alerts every time we go live. All right, we're going to get out here and we'll be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. But until then, for Kevin, I'm Mike wishing you a great Monday. It's time to head back to work and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.